Gracious God, we do ask that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us today, that you would help us be with you today. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who speaks. Help us to be a people who listen and are changed. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. About a week or three ago, I stumbled across a book that had been a part of the genesis for this year-long conversation that we've been having about blessings. Somehow it had gotten stuck underneath a bunch of other books on a giant pile of books, and I came across it, and it turns out it's about blessings, which is why it was the genesis of the series. The book is entitled To Bless the Space Between Us, A Book of Blessings by John O'Donohue. And toward the beginning, O'Donohue writes this: "We enter the world as strangers who all at once become heirs to a harvest of memory, spirit, and dream that has long preceded us and will now enfold, nourish, and sustain us. The gift of the world is our first blessing. It would be infinitely lonely to live in a world without blessing. The word blessing evokes a sense of warmth and protection. It suggests that no life is alone or unreachable. Each life is clothed in raiment of spirit that secretly links it to everything else. Though suffering and chaos befall us, they can never quench that inner light of providence." And he goes on, "Our times are desperate for meaning and belonging. In the parched deserts of postmodernity, a blessing can be like the discovery of a fresh well. It would be lovely if we could rediscover our power to bless one another. I believe each of us can bless. When a blessing is invoked, it changes the atmosphere. Some of the plenitude flows into our hearts from the invisible neighborhood of loving kindness. In the light and reverence of blessing, a person or situation becomes illuminated in a completely new way. In a dead wall, a new window opens. In dense darkness, a path starts to glimmer, and into a broken heart, healing falls like morning dew. It is ironic that so often we continue to live like paupers, though our inheritance of spirit is so vast. The quiet eternal that dwells in our souls is silent and subtle. In the activity of blessing, it emerges to embrace and nurture us. Let us begin to learn how to bless one another." I don't know about you, but something in all of that feels very, very foreign to me. And yet something else in all of that cries to something inside of me. Or something inside of me cries out in longing to something that was there. Those words feel so strange, especially in this particular season of taking sides and being against the other. And yet, what if we could do what it's talking about? What if we could be the kind of people that don't curse, but instead bless? What if we could rediscover this posture of invoking and inviting and illuminating and really intimacy? What if we could be a people who bless? While we're thinking about that again, let me remind you where we are and where we've been. Today, we are finally starting to wrap up this year-long conversation that we've been having about blessings. And in this final series that we're beginning today, we're going to try and get even more practical with who and how we are to bless others. Because I want us to spend the next several weeks looking toward the target of our blessing, because we've been blessed in order to bless the world. The whole world. As Christians, we are to be a blessing not just to each other, but also to everybody else. But the reality is that I think we've been letting the world down a bit when it comes to being a blessing. We want to be blessed, and then we want others to bless us. But I don't know that we've been doing a good job of then blessing others. Over and over again, God says, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. All the nations will be blessed through you. Not because of you, but through you. Alas, I'm not so sure that that is currently how the world or even our communities or even our neighbors are experiencing Christians. Because I think for too long we've been ignoring our calling. So in this series, I want us to spend our time looking at some of the different concentric circles through which our blessings are supposed to flow. We'll start by focusing on those who are near or easy to bless, and then we'll move outward from there over the next couple of weeks. Obviously, we'll have to extend our reach. Obviously, we'll have to extend our attitudes and views in order to bless those who are harder to bless, as we do the work of trying to bless the world. And so as we embark on our final and most important journey of blessings, let's turn in our Bibles to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. While you're turning there, I'll simply remind you that we're picking up the story right at the beginning on day 5 of creation. So let us read from there, Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. And God said, let the waters teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now, no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now, the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Amen. This may be one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, though Jonah's moved up a few spots recently because of last weekend. But somehow this passage and the surrounding verses apply in almost every series that I do. As if the seeds of all things can be found in these couple of chapters. And it points out who we've been made to be, and who we are to become, and most importantly, who God is. And in this series on blessing the world, we see it again. For brevity and clarity, we started this passage on the fifth day or time period of creation. And this is where life just explodes into creation. Like an artist with a paintbrush in fast forward, suddenly birds just stream across the skies. Suddenly fish just fill the waters. Life is suddenly everywhere. The next day, God does the same on the land, animals all over. And as fun as this is to picture, maybe you could use your ears to imagine it even better. Because up to that, to day four, things have been relatively quiet. I mean, there's some wind, there's some waves. That's nice. That's calming. And now there's squawking and roaring and chirping and growling and barking and quacking and howling. As if creation itself starts to speak back to God in wonder and in worship. At which point God creates humanity. So very good. But notice something you've never seen before, probably. I've never seen it before. On the last 3 days of creation, God doesn't just create. God also blesses. God blesses the birds and the fish and the animals. God blesses humanity made in his own image. God blesses the Sabbath day and makes it holy. Did you see that? God blesses the creatures. God blesses the Sabbath. God blesses creation. God blesses us. And then in the midst of all that, God seems to then call us into these blessings, as if we should then be a part of these blessings to creation, like we are to bless creation. Because God gives us responsibility, and God gives us a role, and God gives us relationship. Transforming us then into blessings. More to the point, God tells us to be fruitful and fill creation, subdue and rule over creation, work and take care of creation. And in all those things, to bless creation. As we think about these, we notice that these are all the same ways that God has blessed us, and that's why we then in turn are to bless the world. In a passage like ours, the most obvious blessing we receive is that we were created. God was fruitful. God filled the earth. God gave life, breathed life into us. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Maybe equally important is how God also built potential into creation. In other words, God didn't make creation done. But God left some for us to do as well, so that we might partner with him and bring forth more creation. Because, of course, being fruitful isn't just about procreation. All the animals do that. This is about something more foundational. It's about creating and building and making. It's about art and imagination and design. It's about healing and helping and wholeness. God wants to work with us as we do this work of bringing about more creation. You can think about it this way. If a fruit tree is even remotely healthy, it's going to produce some fruit. But if that tree is tended by someone who knows what they're doing, that tree can produce more fruit. There can be more creation coming out of this little fruit tree. By pruning the tree, removing some of the dead or unhealthy branches, increasing the amount of airflow and sunlight. By fertilizing and watering the tree, adding more nutrients into the system, removing pests and the weaker fruits, you can lose less and bring forth more out of creation. You can make the tree healthier and the fruit more full, more flavorful, more abundant. In other words, you can bring about more potential from that tree. And of course, we're not just talking about fruit trees, are we? Because this is how we are to bless all aspects of creation, to bring forth more and better. Think about the various gardens, if you will, that God has placed you in. Maybe the place you work. Maybe the community that you're in, maybe the relationships you have, even just the people that you know. Are there ways that you could bring forth more life and more health, more fruit out of these gardens? You see, we aren't simply to let things be. We're to make things better. Because God has called us. God has also blessed us with a role, an office, a job. God calls us not just to fill the earth, but to subdue it, to rule over it. Of course, again, we have to begin by recognizing that God blesses us by putting us under his ultimate rule. God knew that we would flounder if we're not following him, which makes sense since he really does know best. But then he told us to try our hand at leading, at shaping, at ruling, even if all of this is still under his ultimate authority, which really is why this is more stewardship than sovereignty. But because it's under God, we are to govern well, lead well, order creation well. Because, of course, things have a tendency to decay. They have a tendency to devolve. They have a tendency to decline. We see this all the time, even just in our homes. The Galligans will regularly undertake the Herculean task of trying to clean our house. And there are moments that we are partially successful at best, but just for moments. Because the reality is it only takes seconds after we arrive back home on a Monday before chaos reigns again. But there was a moment. And what's more, that process of creating order from chaos may be categorically good. It's easy to just see it as a task that needs to be done. But it also could be a form of stewardship. Creating order where there was chaos. Managing a household better under God's ultimate leading. But again, what if this is about something more than just cleaning house? What if we tried to bring that order and structure and stability into the lives of the people around us? The people who are hurting, the people who are having trouble. Could we help create order? Could we take more responsibility for the relationships that we're in? Instead of always waiting for someone else to make the first move. How much more should this be how we strive to live in all of the other areas of life, striving to improve the world around us? But then our passage tells us that we were put into the garden to work it and take care of it. We talked about this years ago, but the image here is that we are to till and tend the garden, that we are to nurture and conserve the garden, that we are to serve and protect the garden, that we are to cultivate and care for the garden. And again, we notice that this is what God has done and continues to do for us. This is one of the ways that God has blessed us. Nurturing, serving, cultivating, tending, protecting, caring. And because this is what we experience, this then is also what we do. Because God blesses us like this, we should then bless others like this. Notice this often takes the form of service, of caring, putting others first. In other words, the only way to really do this is if we know the other people, if we're with the other people, if we're for the other people. To bless like this means that we are working to be in relationship with one another. And while at this point in our series that sounds easy and good, it's going to get harder over the next couple of weeks. But again, all of this only happens because God has blessed us, come to us, called us, created us. God is the one who has moved first so that we would be able to respond in kind. And as we have been blessed, so we bless. Which is why, as this sermon comes to a close, and as we do the work of beginning to wrap up this year and theme of blessing, I want to extend a challenge, a little homework, if you will. I want to challenge you this week to bless someone, preferably verbally, which is weird, like in a conversation. And I'll say right now, I don't think this is going to be easy, but it might be profoundly good. What's more, you can get some extra credit if you can do this to someone who's not a part of this church. You get a little credit for that, but no extra credit. Though it's not bad to practice among us, because that won't feel as strange or be as weird. Of course, you get no points if you just wait till you hear someone sneeze. That doesn't count. Totally different. No points for that. But what if there was a moment this week where you could say or share or mean a blessing to someone else? Now, if this is just too awkward, you can always blame me. That's okay. I have this strange pastor. He gave us this weird homework assignment. Is it okay if I bless you? Because I want to get my full credit before I go back to church. That's okay. You could do it that way. That said, I do have a hint for you. Because I know the word bless is really awkward. That's a really strange, kind of old-fashioned word. So instead, you might want to use the word may. As in, may the road rise up to meet you. As in, may things go better for you. As in, may you have a good day. That one's probably the easiest and subtlest that you could just kind of slide in there at the end of a may you have a good day. But notice how that subtly changes what you're saying. Have a good day is just goodbye. May you have a good day. I'm inviting and invoking something different into your life. Something changes because of the spirit of how you're doing it, how you're saying it. This is quirky. But I think it might be good. It might be healing. It might be helpful. It might make us all a little bit more whole. And I'll close with just a little bit more from the book where we started, because he speaks on this word may a little bit. The language of blessing is invocation, a calling forth. This is why the word may occurs throughout the book. It is a word of benediction. It imagines and wills the fulfillment of desire. In the evocation of our blessing here, the word may is the spring through which the Holy Spirit is invoked to surge into presence and effect. The Holy Spirit is the subtle presence and secret energy behind every blessing. Let's pray. Lord God, you created and it was good. You gave and it was good. You blessed and it was very good. Lord, help us experience your blessings in our lives such that we might, out of that abundance, bless others. Help us recognize the blessings that you have showered upon us, and out of that abundance, help us to bless others. You have called us and come to us. You love us, and out of that abundance, help us to bless others. Lord God, help us become a people who bless, because we've been blessed. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.